if you live in a home like I do, when there's a special occasion, many times my wife will use it to want to say, I'd really like to get a new outfit or a new dress or something. And she doesn't, I mean, she's not a shopaholic, so to speak, but she does like to go. And to be honest with you, I like to go with her. It's kind of a fun time when we go to the mall and get a Starbucks, just hang out, look at people, look at things that maybe we don't need, and then make the decision, yeah, we don't need them, let's just go and go home. But the outfit for the holidays is something that came to my heart this week. I was thinking about how to call what I wanted to share here all week. What would I call it? And this phrase came to my heart, an outfit for the holidays. And not only just for the holidays, but this outfit is an outfit that you can leave on throughout the entire year. This is an outfit that will impact you and change your life. And also, I want to say before I get going here, I'm a linear thinking individual, like a 1 through 10. If I need to do something, make some changes, go someplace, have some objectives to cover, I mark them out. Okay, 1 here, I got to do this. Yep. Okay, number 2, yep. Number 3, yep. And I think I understand in that measure. And so that's, and when I talk to people, when I share with individuals, if somebody is going through something or facing a challenge, I'm not a very good counselor. I'm not. I'm a pastor. My way of counseling is knock it off, quit acting that way, do this, 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 and this. And if you'll do this, things will change in your life. But if you don't, you just stay stupid. You make a mistake, that's one thing. You stay in making a mistake, that's a whole nother level. And so there's some decisions that you have to make. And sometimes you got to change the way you look. A couple of years ago when I was in Africa, I was with a group of people, and Pastor Mike Brown, who led the church, great church there, one of the greatest men of God that I've ever met. Many of you remember when he came here, he made an incredible impact. We were asked to speak at his church, and one of the leaders in the group that I was with said, you got to wear a suit. It's kind of the thing over there. They want you to wear a suit. They got dirt floors and plastic chairs, but they want you to wear the best suit that you can find anywhere. And so we put on the suit, and here comes Mike Brown to pick us up at the place where we were staying. He's got camouflage pants, a shirt, and a hat on. I said, Mike, do we have to wear the suit? He goes, you don't have to wear that. You go and put on whatever you want. He didn't even get the words out of his mouth. Pastor Ron is taking his clothes off as he's running to his room. And we put jeans on and a shirt, and off we were. And I really think that this Sunday that comes before the holiday season is a moment in our lives where we can change our outfit. We can put on something new. And the Bible talks about that today in this beautiful book of Colossians, a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to this little church at Colossae that was in a region of Asia Minor, that Epaphras, one of Paul's men that been converted with the gospel of Christ, had gone to and shared the gospel with, and then had gone back and found out that some of them weren't practicing the gospel and what Christ had done for them. And they had gone off into some heresy, and the Apostle Paul, he doesn't talk about what that was, but he lays some groundwork to refutiate what they and the traditions that they were leaving that God had called them to, and putting on some things that they really shouldn't have in their life. He begins out in the book of Colossians, and you should read that. It wouldn't take you long to read that whole book. You could read it this afternoon. He starts out and he says that Christ is the image of God in Colossians 1:15. He says he's the creator. He says he's the preexistent and the sustainer of all things in Colossians 1:17. He said he calls him the head of the church. He says he's the first in Colossians 1:18 to be resurrected. He says he's the fullness of the deity of God in bodily form in Colossians 1:19. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one. I don't understand that, Pastor. Neither do I. He says he's called the reconciler. Paul is telling them what he is. He says, and Christ is completely adequate. In Colossians chapter 2:15, he says that Christ, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness over every power and every authority. That means that with Christ living in you, that you have power and dominion and authority to speak against things that are evil that are happening around in your life. And I want to tell a dad here today that you don't have to sit idly by and watch the enemy completely take your family away from you. You can stand up in the power and the name of Jesus Christ and begin to take authority over the evil that would try to crowd its way into your home. And Paul, and I love this third chapter that he begins to put into perspective of who we are and what we need to get rid of. And he uses this metaphor of clothing as a way of describing the things that we need to put off and the things that we need to put on. Sometimes my wife, she'll move out a certain amount of clothes out of the closet in the fall and bring out a whole nother level of clothes that I didn't even know she had. And I don't even know where they came from. Praise the Lord. That's for another message. I better watch myself right there. But these are garments that God is telling us to take off and never bring back into your closet. And then he's telling us some to put on. And he starts off in Colossians 3, verse 1. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. He says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And he said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And he goes after the heart and the mind, which is the pinnacle of our understanding and how we live our life, by what we think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And he says, don't set your mind on base or lower things. Don't set your heart on the things of this world. Begin to focus on the things of God and the things that Christ is and where he is. And look up a little higher. Get your eyes off of the things that are around you and that are happening on you. Set your mind and your heart on things above where Christ is seated. Come on, at the right hand of God. And he goes on to say, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Galatians chapter 5. For I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You are not your own, the Bible says in Corinthians. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You have died with Christ, and now you have been risen again with Christ. And he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. And he's speaking of our old life dying, because when we were raised with Christ, he says that we ought to act now like Jesus did when he was resurrected. Because after the resurrection, Jesus left the tomb. And for some of you, you need to leave your past behind. Come on today. You got to leave that. If Jesus came out of the tomb, he called you and I to come out of that thing that holds us down. Come out of that thing that's dark and lowly. Come out of that thing that wants to destroy your life. After his resurrection, Jesus spent the remaining time being with and mentoring his disciples. And we should also, we should live our lives to be with and serve one another. Like the song says, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. If you've been born again, if your life has been changed, then your call, your mission in life is not to just serve yourself, but to serve others. And after his resurrection, Jesus lived a supernatural power in his life with the ability to do the impossible and see the impossible. And so should we, with the power of God's Holy Spirit enabling us and giving us the ability to do what no human could do. And after his resurrection, Jesus looked into heaven, knowing that he would soon ascend there and be there forever. And you and I should also, we should recognize that our citizenship is not in this earth. My brothers and my sisters, you and I don't care how old you are, you're just passing through here. This is just a stop off on your eternal destination. If your mind is so set on this earth, I want to ask you today to lift your heart, lift your mind off of the things on this earth and get them heaven bound. Then he goes on to talk about these things that we are to take off. In fact, not only take them off, but he said put them to death. He says whatever belongs to your earthly nature, put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He says because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways in the life which you now live. He was bold to tell them, hey, you used to live that way. Don't go back there. Because the wrath of God is coming onto the things that he just said here. And what these things do. He's not angry at anyone. He's not telling people you're going to die and burn, baby. But he's telling you that if you participate in these things will pull you away from the plan and the best that God has for you. He's telling you, take them off. If I was smart and savvy like Aaron Martin, I would have had just a closet up here. I would have had all kinds of clothes on. I'd be ripping them off and then putting some more on, but I couldn't figure that out. Take those off. Actually, I don't know what some of those clothing would look like. That would be for another message. But he says, now you almost, here's some more things. He said, you got to rid yourself of these things as well. Anger. Hallelujah. Christmas lines. Anger, you got to rid yourself of it, which leads next to rage. Malice. I'm going to get them. Oh, I'm going to. How many of you have any issues with road rage? Let me see your hand. And then I love how he puts it all together. You talk about 21st century relevancy. Filthy language. Do I need to elaborate on any of these things or do you get it? He's saying take them off. Don't let that be a part of you. He's saying these old nature, it has the power to destroy humanity. And he says, and then he goes on to verse 9, he says, and don't lie. Quit your lying to one another. Said, why? Because you've taken off your old self and its practices. And you, here it is, the metaphor. And you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator, of its Creator. And there's no Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. It's for everyone. And therefore, verse 12, as God's chosen people, if you've been born again, if you've had an experience with Calvary, if Jesus has become the Lord of your life, you are God's chosen today. Come on, look at your neighbor just with a big eye. Wow, you're chosen. Come on. He says, therefore, it's God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves. The King James says, put on with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, and bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ, let it rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Amen. Praise God. And he describes this metaphor that you and I make the choice to take off and to put things on. Amen. You make the choice to do that. And I'm encourage you today to try on a new outfit. I like to go to some stores, and if I go like to a men's warehouse, man, they're on me like flies at a picnic. Oh, come on, try this out. This would look good on you because they know if they can get it on me, I might walk out of the store with it. And so I'm very cautious of what I put on. But here, these things aren't only going to, they're not going to cost you monetarily. They're just going to cost you some of your pride. They're going to cost you and cause you to have humility flowing through your life. So I want to encourage you today to try some of these on, because it's the time of the year. It's the moment. Some of you are going to sit with some people this week at a meal that you're going to struggle with. And if you don't have this garment on, you're going to really struggle. And why go into this holiday season with all this stuff hanging around you? Why not make a decision today to clean out your closet and get a new wardrobe? Come on, ladies, are you with me on that? So I'm going to close in just a moment. We're going to go to the table of the Lord. I just want to remind you of these few things. Number one, clothe yourself with compassion, a deeper feeling. We have to, as Christ followers, have and demonstrate a heart of compassion and mercy to one another. The second thing he says, clothe yourself with kindness. That should be just natural for us, but for some reason or another, we let the things of the world crowd us in, and we wear this cloak sometimes of unkind. And even if somebody does you wrong or you don't get what you think you should be getting, it doesn't give you and I the opportunity to be unkind. You can get your point across being kind. Kindness is a behavioral attitude marked by ethical characteristics. How you're going to treat one another. It's a pleasant disposition with a deep concern for others. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself, he says, with humility. In the pagan world that Paul lived in, didn't believe in this. They did not admire humility. They admired pride, arrogance, domination. I'm going to be number one. If you're going to live for Christ, you're not going to be number one. You're going to let others be number one. Humility. It means, and Jesus set the greatest example of this. It's not thinking of yourself poorly, but it's comparing yourself to Christ and living in the perfect will of God. And the person with humility thinks of others before he thinks about himself. Amen. Clothe yourself with gentleness or meekness. And meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. And the word describes, it uses like a soothing wind or a medicine. Simply put, this word gentleness or meekness is a disposition of a gentle spirit and a kind heart. I want that in my life. I don't know about you. I live part of my life with rage and anger, and I want to be known as a gentle heart. And then he says, clothe yourself with patience or long-suffering. And I know everybody loves just to work on this area of patience. James chapter 1 says it so well. He says, count it all joy when you're going through stuff, when you're facing challenges and uphill battles and trial. He said, count it all joy, because the testing of your faith, it builds patience in you. And when patience has its perfect way, the Bible says you'll be complete and wanting nothing. I'm a little older than I was when I started this, but I want to tell you that I didn't want, somebody told me years ago, oh, never pray for patience. That guy was out of his mind. Pray for patience. Because now at my age, things that used to drive me bonkers 20 some years ago, it's like, okay, it's nothing. And God wants to give you that patience in your life or long suffering. It doesn't mean that you fly off the handle in a moment when things don't go your way. It's long. You got a long fuse, not a short fuse. And my brothers and my sisters, if you got an issue with this temper thing in your life, ask God. Come for prayer at the end of the service. Ask the Lord to help you, because the enemy is going to try to amp all of these things up on you during this season of our lives. Number six, clothe yourself with forbearance. Bear with each other. It means to hold up or hold back. Oh, I want to blow up on this person. Really? Is that what Christ would do? Christ would call you and I to show love where there was no love asked for or even demonstrated to receive. Forbearance. God held his judgment back from you and I, and you and I ought to hold it back from others. Working together. Forgiveness. Clothe yourself with forgiveness. This is a huge one. at this time of the year. Listen, I know about this. This time of the year, it brings in every negative thing, thought, anybody said about you, done to you, tried to assault you with, whatever. And I'm not telling you that you got to make up and stand in a circle and sing Kumbaya with them. But I'm telling you, you got to let it go, my brothers and my sisters. You got to let forgiveness work in your heart. If you got a grievance, the Bible says, if you got a grievance against someone, forgive them. How do you do it? Like the Lord forgave you. And you know, when I think about how Jesus forgave me, woo, it puts life in a whole nother perspective. Hello? And he says, clothe, here it is. He brings it all together. Clothe yourself with love. It's what binds everything together. You can forgive when you have love. You can have patience and kindness. You can be forbearing. You can be long-suffering when you have love. You can grow in God when you have love. You can be what God's called you to be when you have love. By this, the Bible says, John 13:35, will all men know you're my disciples? By the love that you have one for the other. Love is kind, it's patient. Love is long-suffering. Love doesn't take into account a wrong. Love never seeks its own. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant. It doesn't go around waving a flag. Hey, look at me. This is what I am. This is what I want. Love never, ever fails. And then he says, because of the decision that you and I make to put this outfit on, he says in verse 50, now let the peace of Christ, let it rule your heart. Because when all these other things are working in you, hello, today, peace comes into your life. Peace begins to take over your heart. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And then he says, and be thankful. Come on, are you thankful today? Come on, are you thankful today? Amen. I want those who are going to help with the table this morning to come now. Close your Bible. I want you just to focus on him just for a moment as we end the service today with partaking in communion together. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Begin to hand out the cup, the bread. When you've received it this morning, I want you to wait, hold it, and we'll all partake together of it. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and your Savior, before you partake of this today, make that decision. Say, Jesus, take over my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord, be my Savior. There's nothing that you have done or could do that can save you from separation from God. It's everything that Jesus has done for you to make a way for you where there would be no other way. And when you receive the cup and the bread, hold it and just close your eyes today. And ask the Lord, ask him in your heart, where are these areas in your life that you can, that God wants to build in you, compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. And maybe for some of you, it's taking off some of those old clothes. Man, take them off. They're not healthy for you. They're smelly. Dirty. God's got something beautiful, fresh for you to put on. And when we partake together today, we're going to start brand new. We're going into this holiday season brand new. It's going to be a new day for you. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it and just close your eyes. Let the Spirit of God begin to work in your heart and work in your life this morning. Let him have his way in you today. Ask him to change you. Ask him to, this just isn't some ritual that we do. Don't do it as a ritual. Do it because of relationship with Christ. Give him your life today. Give him all of your life. Some of you here, you're struggling with some areas of addictions. You just can't seem to get around it. Holiday seasons, you're already thinking about it. People are talking to you. Oh, we're going to party here, party there. You can't handle that in your own strength. You need the power of God's Holy Spirit to give you the strength so that you don't have to participate and see the enemy destroy your life any further. Whew, I felt God when I was talking about that. I'm the Spirit of God is speaking to somebody about that today. It's not going to be like it's always been. You're going to be above that, not below. You're going to rise above it this year. You're going to take off those old things. Maybe for some of you, you got to get rid of some relationships that are always there. Pull you back into that hole that tries to destroy you and hurt you. Listen to me. Don't go down that route this year. Go in a new way. He made a way. He made a way. He made a way. And I just want to thank you. Serve today and you want to be, raise your hand right now so those that are still out, we make sure. If you were not served and you want to be, put your hand up real high in the air. Everyone is served. Wonderful. Thank you, God. The blood, the bread, the cup, body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we partake of this today, something is going to change in your life. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The blood of Jesus Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood. When we partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we remember what he has done for us, how he died, how he took captive, how he bore our pain, how he is chastised for our peace, our iniquity, the iniquitous nature that would always try to pull us back and remind us of who we were. God says, I've triumphed over all of that. The Spirit of Christ lives in you today. And when we partake of the body and the blood, the bread and the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ, a new life begins to spring, rise above inside of you. He took the bread in the night in which he was betrayed. He broke it. The Bible says that he gave thanks. He said, this is my body for each one of you. Take it, eat it, every one of you, and remember me. Remember what I've done. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Believe for God to do something so powerful and supernatural right now. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Today, when you drink this cup, faith in Jesus Christ, he shed blood at Calvary's cross. By his stripes we are healed. Today I believe that God is going to heal not only bodies, broken hearts, minds that have been assaulted, people that have been hurt, been taken advantage of, you've been disappointed. And the enemy would like to illuminate that all in this season, show you what you don't have, what you lost, what's been done to you, all the pain that you've been through. Jesus says, as we drink this cup today, there's life in the blood. Hallelujah. He took the cup and said, "This is my blood. Drink it, every one of you. Remember what I have done." Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord, today. We worship you, Lord, today. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters today. Strength and great hope upon their lives, each and every one of them. Encouragement for their lives. Lift them. Bless them. Bring hope and peace to each and every person here, I pray today. May this be one of the greatest seasons that we've ever experienced. For that, we give you the thanks and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. Man, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. If you have a prayer need today, some of the prayer folk, come on down here. You need prayer for anything before you go, you come on down before you leave today. We want to believe God with you. Go in His grace today. Know that He's with you. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you up and encourage you. Okay? And if I don't see you Thursday, have a great, great Thanksgiving. All right? Make sure you hug, love some people on your way out. You need prayer, you come on down here. We want to pray for you and believe God with you.